entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Our special holiday week broadcast of Guest Star features the music of Jeff Alexander with his orchestra and chorus and presents as its special guests the twin stars of Light Up Time, lovely Dorothy Kirsten, and our holiday host, Frank Sinatra.
Thank you, Don, and hello, friends. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the Guest Star series. And today's program is especially important to me because it marks the third straight year in which I've appeared on the Christmas week broadcast. And Dorothy and Jeff Alexander and I have planned a show playing it safe all the way, strictly loaded with favorites and fun to do. And we shall start off with me playing the part of the little man in the weather barometer. I pop out of the house with frost on my beard and predict light snow, followed by lighter music. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman. Then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in the winter wonderland. Walking in the winter wonderland.
Oh, the sound of snowflakes hitting the ground. No, I actually don't hear that here in Florida, but who cares? American Adversaries!
I think that's footsteps on the stairway out there.
Footsteps on the stairway. No, that's me uttering four-letter words. I lost my clothing, I wrote it up, and my briefcase came apart, and boy, I'm going to...
Exploded. Did you ever see that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza keeps putting more and more stuff in his wallet, and finally one day he pulls it out to put another little slip of paper in there, and it explodes. The stuff goes everywhere.
I didn't have that much in the briefcase, but the clasp failed, and I picked it up, and everything went everywhere. And let me tell you, you will never see this briefcase again. I'm going to tear it apart in front of you guys.
If you've been a good little boy, maybe Santa Claus will bring you a new one for Christmas.
I don't want one! I don't want another piece of garbage! Anyway, we are the American Adversaries, folks, and gosh, did you see the president today, Chris? Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Now, I'm beginning to realize this man does know how to run the country, Chris. He said something so brilliant.
Oh.
He said, if you don't trust your government, it's not going to work. He said that. I listened to the man. Now, he was talking about the NSA, and he was maybe talking about Obamacare, too. But if you don't trust your government that lies through their teeth at you, it's just not going to work.
Maybe he was watching Miracle on 34th Street, you know, where at the end the little girl, Natalie Wood's going, I believe, you know that part of the movie?
No, okay. He's just a scam artist. That's all he is.
At least he's going out of town. He's going to How Are You for a couple of weeks, and as far as I'm concerned, he can stay out there. But, yeah, I'm going to start calling these press lullabies, because if you're not careful, they will put you to sleep. Obviously, there was nothing new or revealing. The president just looked more perplexed than ever. And I'm more convinced than ever that this man was way oversold as being a brilliant person.
He
way oversold.
Absolutely was the antithesis, Chris, of a leader. The opposite of a leader, what you would look for in a leader.
Or I guess that's a great way to put it, because I was going to say, or of anybody who knew which way to go. But that's what a leader is all about. Okay, folks, stick with us, because we'll be with you, of course, leading you through the next hour. And then Gary Coltbaum will take over. And actually, Brian's going to be in for him today, and they'll be telling you about the market. And it's in a good mood the last couple of days. You know, General Ben decided to ease out of the QE3, which was basically the printing of money, and into tapering very slowly, I might add. And then today there were some big economic numbers, which, if you look close, are probably a flash in a pan thing. But nonetheless, the market's in a good mood, so stick around for that later on. Anyway, in the meantime,
don't believe any of it.
That's right. In the meantime, Tom Tillison will be joining us and here shortly, and we're going to talk with him about the Duck Dynasty dust up. And all I can say to begin with right now, we'll take this up much more later on, is can you say Chick-fil-A? Remember the Chick-fil-A thing?
I remember the Chick-fil-A dust-up. That
didn't turn out too bad for Chick-fil-A, did it?
No, and it didn't turn out very particularly well for the gay community either. Actually, part of the gay community. Part of the gay community was behind Chick-fil-A 100%, and part of the gay community now is somewhat behind his right to say what he said.
This whole situation is beginning to look more and more similar to the Chick-fil-A thing, and I think it's going to turn out the same way.
The only problem is here, Chris, is he also threw in the racial element. And that's going to...
They're trying to make a big deal out of that, but if you look at it closely...
Pretty bad.
I don't know.
Blacks were better off under Jim Crow laws?
I would argue that they were. I would argue... Look at the black community today. Half of them are... Half of them are aborted. Half of them are aborted. They don't even get a chance to live under Jim Crow. And then, of the ones who make it out of the womb, they have a great chance of being illiterate, of going to prison, or dying in a drug violence.
So they don't deserve the freedom for their own choices.
What I'm saying is, you have to look much further than that one narrow part of the picture.
Why? Because he brought that up. He
What I'm saying is,
that narrows it down right there. If you were saying Jim Crow laws are better for blacks today, I'll let you make that.
I think what he was saying was in that era, under the Jim Crow era. And it's a different thing. And I would even beg to, beg to argue that blacks were better off than they are today in terms of their chances of getting out of the womb and having a successful life. They had a better chance back then, yes, under Jim Crow. And it's a shame to say it, but you can thank the gall dang liberals for it. And that's what this man is all about. And that's why I'm behind him 100%, and I think a lot of other people out there are. And to get back to your original point, though, your earlier point, I should say, is there are actually a lot of gays coming out standing up for this guy, because they understand that you're absolutely right, that the way they react to this reflects on them as much as it does on him.
So I want to be clear about this. You're going to tell Carl Jackson that he would be better off today under Jim Crow laws.
I wouldn't be surprised, Lair, if Carl Jackson tells
we'll
you the
out.
Same thing. And we'll find out.
We'll find out. Carl, if you're listening, please call. We need you to clarify this.
All right. Well, all I can say is, and look at the in terms of the marriage. I mean, under Jim Crow, blacks were married and they stayed married. Under modern-day culture, they don't even get married.
Well, okay, how about we just have the same with whites? You can't divorce once you get married.
I would say that whites, in many ways, are worse off, too. Look at the culture. It is becoming secularized. It is becoming liberalized. And as time goes by, that process is going on more and more. And I know I do not necessarily see that as a good thing. All right, so we'll be talking about this more with
Tom
Tillison. We'll be talking about this more with Tom Tillison here in just a few minutes.
Call us, give us your opinion.
Okay, all right. And by the way, folks, the number is 407-774-8255. And don't forget to keep that phone close, because at some point during this hour, we will be giving away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's right, the all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. And it's great stuff. Everybody should have it in their medicine cabinet. Okay, yeah, forget about the press conference. I don't even want to talk about Obama until we come back from Christmas. The man's not worth it. The country is far more worth it. So that's why I want to talk about these other things. And we'll get back to that point later on, Lair. But first of all, did you happen to watch any A&E last night?
No, we had our thing last night.
Well, after you got home.
No, I went home and went to my bathroom.
Because you would have had plenty of time to watch Duck Dynasty all night long on A&E.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again last night. Okay, and there was Phil Robertson all over it. Carl, I see you're on the line. We'll get right to you. I just want to make one more point, then we're going to take the break, and we'll come back with Carl Jackson. He's taken up Lair's invitation. Then you wouldn't have seen the new show that they used Duck Dynasty to kick off last night, the same show that they kicked off.
I've never seen Duck Dynasty.
Let me finish my point. Hmm? The same show that they kicked off the week before. It's a new show, brand new reality show called Cowgirls. Okay, and it's about the girls who do the barrel riding in the rodeos, and they travel around with the rodeos, much like a circus a crew. You know, the same riders go from rodeo to rodeo, the same girls, the same guys, and basically, I hate to say it, but they depict these girls, beautiful girls, as bitches and slutses. And they're using Duck Dynasty for A&E to kick this off. So who are they to stand in moral judgment of this man? They are nobodies. They are nobodies. That's who they are. Okay, but we are somebody. Carl Jackson is somebody. Don't forget, folks, he has his own live show in which we will be live tomorrow morning, Saturday, right here at 6:60 a.m., 8 to 9 a.m.
Folks, we will be right back in just a few minutes. Carl Jackson's on the line. Maybe he can help me on it here because I can't wrap my arms around it. We're the American Adversaries. Listen up.
We can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say...
And we're rocking and rolling here in the studio tonight. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. And just before we get to Carl Jackson, I just want to thank all the folks who came out and joined us last night for dinner at Cafe Positano. Colonel McKnight, his brother Bill, Mike McBath, Reggie Branch, Ken Vheck, Jeff Dowdy, and his lovely wife Darla, and his son Tim, and Tim, and Jim, and Diane, and JJ listeners. It was a great time. And folks, I hope you can join us there New Year's Eve to bring in the new year. And if you'd like to join us there, and please make a reservation, 407-774-8255 is the number. Okay, Carl Jackson, thanks for calling in, and we appreciate, of course, all you always being out there listening to us.
Hey, what's going on, Chris and Lair? Great, exciting show already.
All right, you're going to have to listen because I think that's irresponsible.
Actually, it was exciting before the show even started around here. But go ahead,
that
Carl.
Was my fault. But
go ahead.
Well, listen, I love Duck Dynasty. I love the show. I love Phil Robertson. I think that show is useless without him. I understand that they have the characters like Cy and so on, et cetera. But that guy really sets the tone. In considering his comments, do I wish he would have worded them differently? Yes, I do. But I think what he's speaking of when he's speaking to the black race is he's speaking of the era, not necessarily hardships per se, or not even necessarily racism in a sense, but the era of which the black family thrived. And it's factually true, unfortunately, that the black family did do much better under Jim Crow than we do now. It's sad, but it's true. It's just a matter of fact. So I wish he would have expounded
on
his
statement. Would accept subjugation under certain laws.
Lair, that's not what we're saying at all. That is not what we're saying. What we're saying
first
is
of all,
in relative terms.
What did he say? First of all, what did he say? Because I didn't see the segment. I'm just going what the news sources said he said about blacks were better under Jim Crow laws.
That's your first mistake.
All right, well, tell me what he said.
And then, well, I think the most important thing is what he said at the end. And what he said at the end, and I'm just paraphrasing, is how he absolutely loves everyone, and he judges no one, and he loves all of humanity, and so on. So I think the last quote, to be quite honest with you, is the most important quote, because he sums it up beautifully.
That's a little bit of intellectual dishonesty there. I mean, if the man made a quote that blacks were better under Jim Crow laws, where you had certain rules that whites didn't have to abide by...
That is not what the man said.
You
understand?
Tell me what he said.
He said that he worked in the fields picking cotton with black people, and that they sang songs, that they got along, and that things in a lot of ways were much better than they are now.
I suggest
in the future you don't rely on what the media says something.
What did he say about Jim Crow, Chris?
I don't believe he used the words Jim Crow at all.
He didn't say black. Well, then I'll check the media.
No, he did not say that blacks were better under Jim Crow. He was talking about what life was like in Louisiana when he was a kid.
All right. Yeah, I can understand that.
I forget the exact quote, but he didn't mention Jim Crow, but he even referenced himself as white trash.
He didn't. Carl said he didn't mention Jim Crow.
No, he just said he did.
Carl, what did you say?
No, he didn't say the words Jim Crow.
No, he did not.
As far as what I've read, he did say is that he hung around with blacks and everybody got along with everyone.
Exactly.
And everyone seemed happy. And he was white trash hanging around with some blacks that seemed happy during that time. So they tried to make it a racial issue. Now, is it kind of naive to say blacks weren't going through some form of suffering? I think it is. But I also think that's because of where he grew up. I think he grew up in the bayou. I think he grew up, or in the woods, if you will. And he was around a select group of people and individuals. And, I mean, this was a football star, college guy. So everyone that he was around, black or white, loved him and he loved. And that's the world that he knew. So maybe his comments were a little naive, but I don't for a second believe they're racist. Because remember, they tried to go after him as far as the gay issue is concerned. When they saw that backfiring, they said, let's go to the next issue.
You got it. You got it right, Carl. Carl, can you stay with us? I want to bring Tom Tillison in on this because I know he wants to make some comments. Please don't go away yet. So Tom Tillison of BizPackReview.com. That's BizPackReview.com. Thanks for joining us tonight. You've heard what's been going on. What's your thoughts?
Appreciate you having me on. Let me read real quick exactly what he said so we know what we're talking about.
Thank you.
He said, I never with my eyes saw the mistreatment of any black person, not once. Where we lived was all farmers. The blacks worked for the farmers. I hoed cotton with them. I'm with the blacks because we're white trash. We're going across the field. They're singing and happy. I have never heard one of them, one black person, say, I tell you what, those doggone white people, not a word.
Okay.
That was the extent of his comment.
I'm the ignorant guy here. Did he mention anything about Jim Crow? Because I'm going to find out which...
No, he just read it to you. That's all he said.
Yeah, that was
said.
The entire statement
that's
about
it.
Blacks. Okay.
And that's why I'm saying...
Fox News that brought this out this morning.
Because they're following the scripted storyline. The scripted storyline of the media is that they're trying to trash these guys.
So, Tom, he never mentioned anything about Jim Crow laws in his interview.
From what I am reading from that interview, no, I see nothing. That was a full statement that I am seeing. And I think Carl had it right that to some extent it's naive. I mean, you know, he cannot possibly say that blacks were happy. He couldn't know that because he, as we all say, no man can walk in another man's shoes, particularly
I agree with that, Tom, but you know what I think he was trying to say? I think he was trying to say that in some ways it wasn't as bad in the South as it's been depicted. Okay, and that whites and blacks could, even under those circumstances, get along, so to speak.
Yeah, now Now,
Tom, please let Carl, and then we'll go back to you, Tom.
No, I completely understand what Lair said, if that's what he said. But from everything I've read, he simply didn't say that.
If that was fictitious, then I apologize to everyone out there. This was a statement I heard on Fox this morning, and up until that time, I was like, okay, you know what this man said.
This is very educational, because this is the kind of scripted BS that even comes out of Fox, Tom.
Well, you know, the important thing there, and I think Carl also touched on this, is he's talking about I was white trash. So he lived, you know, he saw it from a different perspective than most people did during that time, because he was right there working alongside of them. And in the South particularly, you know, the poor white trash oftentimes not treated much better than the blacks were at that time.
You're absolutely right. Carl?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with it. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to look at life through his eyes, and it may seem, like I said, it seems a little naive as far as the general culture is concerned, but if I'm looking at life through his eyes, and he's sitting there and he's hanging around with blacks, he's playing football with blacks, these are his brothers protecting him as quarterback, and you know, he didn't see the world any differently. So, you know, maybe inside of his sphere, I think the man is telling the truth. I think the man just saw life as he saw it, and that's what he reported, or that's what he said in his interview, and I think he meant just that.
I think so too, and I think if you watch the show enough, and Carl, tell me if I'm wrong, but he's often more or less whimsical about the old days. You know, in other words, things were a lot better in the old days when you didn't have all these gadgets and the kids had their nose in the phone all the time and stuff like
that. Exactly, and he has black grandkids. They forgot to mention that.
Yes, that's right.
So here's the deal. The bottom line is this. Liberals don't like Doug Dynasty because they are affecting the culture in a way that no other Christian median ever has.
They're doing it
quite effectively. They're taking away the myth that Christianity is boring. I mean, they're blowing these up.
Carl, if you'll hold it right there, we got to take a break. Folks, we'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, in what must be a troubling sign to the White House, Senate Republicans and Democrats have teamed up on more than the Murray-Ryan budget, and in a rare move are attempting to force the president's hand on a foreign policy matter.
Chris, that's right. This is great. They are actually going to try to defy Obama and the administration in regards to Iran's the Geneva Agreement that happened. And so what they've basically done, this is both Democrats and Republicans, under this bill that they've submitted, the administration would have to certify to Congress every 30 days Iran's adherence to the pact. And basically, without that certification, they would reimpose all of the sanctions. It would impact the oil exports. There would be a global boycott on Iranian oil exports. And there would be a blacklisting of Iran's mining, engineering, and construction industry. So, basically, which is a mouthful, basically what they've done is they've said, hey, that's great that you signed this agreement in Geneva, but we want checks and balances because we're exhausted and tired by the fact that nobody is checking you.
And perhaps unsurprisingly, this afternoon, or last night, I should say, the administration announced that they would veto this bill if it were to pass out of the Congress. 13 Democrats, 13 Republicans, and the Iranians understand that these sanctioned threats would strengthen the president's hand. It's a mystery as to why he wouldn't want it.
Well, he doesn't want it because it's not what he came to the table with. So he doesn't want you to bring your toys to the sandbox. He wants to play his own sandbox under his own rules, and this does not go along with that. So what's he going to do? He's going to threaten to veto. He's going to put it out there that this isn't good. when everyone in the world, other than maybe six countries or seven countries that participated in the Geneva Agreement, everyone else is not happy with the way this went down, including the American people.
A great way to put it. Kids in a sandbox. Okay, folks, don't forget, you'll get the whole story. And Monday, look for a special Christmas message from SoundbiteRx.com. So please, go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. That's Charlie Brown Music. Linus and Lucy is actually the name of the tune. Vince Guaraldi Trio. That's for Nostradamus, who's working hard, slaving away, if you will, over at headquarters tonight. Unfortunately, he won't be able to join us. But I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, you are listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. We do have Biz Pack Reviews, Tom Tillison on the line with us, and the Carl Jackson Shows. Carl Jackson also on the line with us. Listen, guys, I want to read a statement that the family issued today and then get y'all's comments on it if I could. Let's see here. Let me find it real quick.
Yeah, they're not without their patriarch. They don't think they want to.
No, they're not going to go ahead with the show. Hold on just a second right here.
They got about 14 weeks in the can, I think, or 14 episodes.
Yeah. All right.
As they say in the biz.
This is from the family. All right. We want to thank all of you for your prayers and support. The family has spent much time in prayer since learning of A&E's decision. We want you to know that first and foremost, we are a family rooted in our faith in God and our belief that the Bible is His Word. While some of Phil's unfiltered comments to the reporter were coarse, his beliefs are grounded in the teachings of the Bible. Phil is a godly man who follows what the Bible says are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Phil would never incite or encourage hate. We are disappointed that Phil has been placed on hiatus for expressing his faith, which is his constitutionally protected right. We have had a successful working relationship with A&E, but as a family, we cannot imagine the show going forward without our patriarch at the helm. We are in discussions with A&E to see what that means for the future of Duck Dynasty. Again, thank you for your continued support of our family. Right decision?
Yeah, I absolutely love that statement. I mean, that statement says everything you need to hear. That statement says that their family is more important than money. That statement says that they affirm the fact that Phil Robertson, he said what 97% of straight men wonder about. He just had the courage to say it.
Yeah, you know.
That's the only thing he did, and I appreciate the family standing by him, and I appreciate, listen, they hold the cards. I mean, if you guys have seen these guys, when this situation blew up, within one day, they had 1 million new Facebook followers. Their merchandise in Walmart are sold out.
I know it.
In the last couple of days.
Yeah,
listen,
you know.
I mean,
you raise a very good point, Carl. You know, as far as how straight men view homosexual men, and let's face it, there's reasons why straight men are straight.
And I think that's what he kind of spelled out for us.
Yeah, well, no, seriously, it's that attraction.
But let me say something about what Carl just said, and then I want to go to Tom and get his thoughts. I too, applaud their approach with this statement and their approach to play some hardball business speaking, because what I was afraid of was they would take the Paula Deen approach.
Yeah.
Remember?
Exactly.
Well, she apologized, exactly. And now she's yesterday's news.
Wimp out.
Yeah, no. Tom Tillison, what do you think?
Well, I also applaud the statement. I think it's the thing you have to look at, and then it gets to the root of the real problem. If you look at that statement, how many times do they reference God? How many times do they talk about their faith? When I was talking earlier about the comments that he made about black people, I left off the last sentence, which basically he said, Were they happy? They were godly. They were happy. No one was singing the blues. At the end of the day, guys, this doesn't have anything to do or has little to do with homosexuality. It has little to do with racism.
Yep.
It's all about Christianity and his faith. The secular progressives in this country understand that their biggest enemy in America is Christianity and its faith in itself.
They are
religious liberty and freedom. That's exactly what I'll be speaking of tomorrow morning.
I'll tell you what the liberals hate about this show is that they are scared to death of it, of its popularity, and in particular of its message.
And who it represents. Exactly. It represents a large portion of America that is becoming now more vocal. They were fine as long as they were silent.
Good point. Excellent point.
And, you know, here's a point, too, guys. And honestly, Mike Gallagher made this point, but I thought it was very brilliant. And what A&E, when A&E signed the contract with these guys, they thought they were getting another Honey Boo Boo. Now, he didn't use the words Honey Boo Boo, but I am. Mike Gallagher used the words. They thought they were just getting another redneck family they can make fun of and they can make money off of. And
buffoons.
And
right.
But the problem is, it turned on them. People started loving these guys, respecting these guys, wanting to emulate these guys. And these guys made God popular in the culture. They made manhood. They repopularized manhood. And so A&E, even at their last contract, when they sat down, A&E once again asked them to stop the praying, and I forget what else they asked them to stop doing. And these guys flat out refused. As a matter of fact, they played Willie Robertson saying, if loving Jesus is wrong, I don't want to be right when it comes to A&E.
God bless them.
These guys are just devout.
Yeah, what the liberals have made a mistake is that these guys are all also very smart.
Yeah,
they're very well educated, and they are wise to the ways of the world. Tom?
Well, I think you'll see the left continue to try to go at these guys. But Carl said it earlier. They hold all the cards. They have a $400 million merchandise empire. As he mentioned, Walmart's out of their products right now. You know, A&E, this was the most popular show they've ever had. So the guys, I think they know that they're in the driver's seat. And then who wouldn't snap them up if they walk away?
Yeah. No, I think Phil has been very clever about all of this. But listen, guys, I've got Al hanging on the line, and so please hold on. Let's go ahead and take Al's phone call. Al, you wanted to chime in on this conversation. What do you have to say about it? And thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, by the way, as well.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you.
This is what I have to say. If America is looking up to these guys in this show as some sort of source of inspiration, this country is in big trouble.
Well,
Number two, of course the family's not going to go. They're already rich, so they have nothing to lose.
And that's the beauty of the whole thing, is they really don't, and the liberals hate that. But I would think that they would beg to argue that this country is already in big trouble, and they're trying to lead the way out of it. Thank you for the call, though, Al. Appreciate it. Carl, I'll get your comment on it, then we'll go to Tom.
Yeah, you kind of broke up there, or my phone broke up, so I heard what Al said, but I don't know if you asked me to respond to him.
Yes, please go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I mean, let's face it. Al is wrong just based upon the culture. The culture is dictating that these guys are worth following. I know liberal women that can't stand Republicans that love these guys. Women that will bash men, yet watch Duck Dynasty and buy their merchandise, because women instinctively or inherently love men that want to be men.
That's right.
Men provide for their wives. They work hard. They have become successful. They're college educated, which most people don't know. So I don't understand why Al would say society shouldn't emulate them. What? We shouldn't provide for our wives. We shouldn't work. We shouldn't be educated. It makes no sense.
Well, Carl, what you may be seeing, and you too, Tom, you may be seeing the end of the popularity of the metrosexual.
Let's only hope so.
Well, seriously, it's about time to get over that, isn't it?
That's
a great point.
When you have Phil Robertson opposing the pajama boy, who I think is the epitome, the vision, if you will, of the metrosexual, Tom, what do you think about all that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when the left presents Pajama Boy, it's not that hard for the Robertson family to stand out and, or be the better alternative.
Yep.
It's the fact that these guys are true to heart. They're God-fearing people. They put their faith first. Those are things that I think a lot of people are relating to in this country that is continually getting more and more secular. And I think people are missing that spirituality in this country. And I think that's what the Duck Dynasty has tapped into.
I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, I also think that is part of the new Pope's appeal. People are spiritually starved. They're dying for something like this. Carl, one more, and then I'll have to let you go.
Yeah, you know, I think you guys hit it right on the head. I mean, inherently, I think people crave purpose, and they crave to know why they're here and why they were created. And you have a show like Duck Dynasty that shows people, hey, Christianity isn't boring. Hey, this stuff is meaningful. You know what? Family actually isn't a bad idea. Traditional family isn't a bad idea. Look at how the brothers get along. Look at how the grandkids get along. Look at how all the children, all the siblings get along. Traditional family isn't bad. This God thing isn't bad. Maybe there is some purpose that we've been bashing, that we're missing. And, man, these guys are doing wonders for Christianity and the popular culture.
I think they are. I think this whole thing is all part of that great plan, if you will. Carl, thank you so very much for calling in. We appreciate it that you're out there listening and that you called when Lair asked you to. Thank you so very much.
Right.
We appreciate
you. Thanks for having me. Love you guys.
Okay,
you too, buddy. Have a great show tomorrow.
And Carl will be on live
which
tomorrow.
Which he will.
Yep, live 8 a.m. tomorrow night with Mickey Alvarez and the team. And don't forget, Carl will be on our Sunday night show, which is going to be a Christmas special. We're going to do a Christmas special. I think you folks will really enjoy it, and that will be Sunday night right here, 5 to 8. Let's go ahead and take Rick's phone call, and then we'll go to the break and come back with Tom Tillis. And Rick, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Evening, guys. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to all.
Same to you.
And the thing that people don't know is you buy Duck Dynasty merchandise, the profits go to A&E. If you want to go to the family,
right,
by Duck Commander.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I had it backwards, but you're right. The Duck Dynasty stuff goes to A&E, but the Duck Commander stuff, they get the profits from it. And
yeah,
those are the ones.
They need A&E. They were rich before A&E even found them.
Yeah.
They'll be rich and successful.
Right.
That's what they hate. But they are successful without government.
And they are successful and in the light of God, if you will. Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks,
I appreciate you being out there. And by the way, the Duck Commander stuff is what you'll find in the sporting goods stores and places like
that. And, Chris, I hope like heck that they have really good tax attorneys because you know they're a target now.
Okay, folks, when we come back, we're going to rejoin with Tom Tillison. And once again, please stay with us. Christmas is coming, Vince Giraldi Trio. Once again, that's for Nostradamus, who's slaving away at headquarters. Okay, folks, one more segment of the American Adversaries. Don't forget, we will be here Monday, but we won't be here Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We will be back Thursday.
You know, Nostradamus is kind of like one of Santa's helpers.
He kind of looks like Charlie Brown, too. I didn't mean it, Dennis.
You said that.
I didn't mean it. I'm just teasing. Okay. All right.
It's the hair thing, isn't it?
All right. Well, speaking of Christmas, it's time to give away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics. This is on the rocks. That's right, folks. Roczey Pacifics with an X.net is where you can find this stuff. And if you'd like to buy this, it makes a great gift. You get $5 off every bottle that you buy. Doesn't matter the size, $5 off. RoxyPacifics.net. Call now. First caller, 407-774-8255 wins tonight's free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. 407-774-8255. Everybody needs to have some of this in their medicine cabinet. Okay, let's go back to Tom Tillison. Tom, any other final thoughts on the Duck Dynasty stuff? Before I kind of want to move on before we run out of time.
Well, the one final thought on that is just, you know, his views on homosexuality, you know, it's a reflection on if you believe in the Word of God, and you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, if you fundamentally believe that, you cannot help but be at odds with the gay community who will see you as a homophobe. I think it's important to understand that Christians are pretty much have been boxed into a corner. However, having said that, it's equally important that nobody judges anyone else on their actions and behaviors, and I think that's where a lot of folks go wrong.
Yeah, and I think, once again, in his own way, he was trying to say, look, we're all sinners, but yet we can all be redeemed. We all have our own sort of scheme of sinning. And he mentioned himself. And if you read his book, he talks about how he went astray, if you will, and he credits finding Jesus Christ with basically saving his life because he was going down a road of alcoholism.
Now, and two guys, you know, and I know we don't need to belabor this too much longer, but the whole phrase you just used there, Tom, homophobe. You can't call me a homophobe because I am not afraid of homosexuals. I may not agree with their lifestyle or whatever, but I don't shrink in fear. Oh, my God, it's a gay person. See, it's a ridiculous phrase.
Once again, that's not at all what he was talking about.
No. I'm just saying, homophobe.
All right. Okay. Tom, I want to get your thoughts on, last week when we had you on, we were talking about how the atheists put up a display in the Capitol. And by the way, along that subject line, I want to just read a little bit of an op-ed that appeared in today's Orlando Sentinel by a local resident from Longwood named Don Ulrich.
Written before, I think.
He might have. I'm just going to read the last part of it here. It says, in the past, atheists used public buildings, mostly courtrooms, to congregate. Instead of priests, pastors, or rabbis, they have attorneys who also go through equally vigorous training with the most emphasis placed on the various translations of the Constitution. I don't mean to state the plainly obvious, but doesn't atheism have all the makings of a religion? Larry, you've said this mm-hmm. plenty of times. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines religion as an interest, a belief or an activity that is very important to a person or group. But that, too, is subject to interpretation. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Doesn't the atheist's religion dominate our public institutions? This clearly violates the true intention of the First Amendment, which was to prohibit the establishment of a state religion.
Great point.
Go, Don, the final sentence here. Atheists have unfairly pushed out other religions in favor of their own. I find this offensive. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
I love it. Love it. Great article.
Your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, what the atheist groups are doing, it's bullying. It's intimidation. They're trying to, particularly now they're going after schools, but what they're telling them is simply not true. But they're trying to threaten them with lawsuits. They're trying to make them feel that it's against the Constitution to in any way reference Christianity, and it's just simply not true. And people need to understand that and stand up to this because
Kind of,
otherwise, the bully is going to get his way.
It's kind of similar to what they're trying to do to Phil Robertson. But the latest on the finally the state drew a line. And who did they draw the line on and say, no, you can't put a display in the state capitol?
I think the Satanic Temple.
Yeah, yes.
They told them no, they drew the line there. But on the good note, they allowed the I forgot what they called it now, the spaghetti monster. They allowed that display to go up. So in addition to the 6-foot stack of beer cans, there's a headless spaghetti monster.
I guess.
Lay next to the nativity scene. In effect, guys, as I said last week, they've turned our state capitol into a circus.
I know. I was going to say they probably just didn't want the satanic people in there because they were afraid they would sprinkle around some chicken bones. And with the beer cans and the chicken bones, they were probably worried about roaches invading the place.
No. Wall Street, what is that group?
The Wall Street Occupiers.
Yes, that's it. They would be there.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Tom, and Merry Christmas to you. And then we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Merry Christmas, guys.
You too, buddy. By the way, Kelly's won our bottle of Roxy from Longwood.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Kelly. That's Tom Tillison, BizPack Review. We only have a minute left, but I want to go to Rick. He wants us to change the subject. Rick, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of all this. By the way, I think Person of the Year should have been Benjamin Netanyahu, but that's besides the point.
Hey, I agree with you, sir.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One other thing.
Yeah.
Could you do me a favor? I'll discuss this with you maybe on Sunday or next week. December 1st, Sunday, Scott Maxwell about the environment. I think all Republicans should read this because he, in essence, writes about the Florida legislature, about how they're cutting deeply into the environment. And it really, he says, if you want to make rules, what can be built on environmentally sensitive land and you're opposed to private property rights? Do you care about water quality, mercury levels, or runaway growth? And you're a radical, tree-hugging, anti-capitalist traitor. And he says it's a campaign of propaganda created or crafted from a toxic mix of ignorance, indifference, and greed.
I did. I remember the article you're talking about.
To discuss that because this is the main reason I dislike the Republican Party.
That was a Sunday paper.
The EPA is not our enemy.
Well, it was not created to be our enemy, but like many government programs, it is no longer what it was created to be. It was created to protect us and clean air, clean water, all that stuff. Who's not for that? And it is. We have made tremendous strides. Unfortunately, it has become an opponent of ours, and so we will treat it as such. But thank you, Rick, for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, and once again, folks, don't forget we will be giving away another bottle of Roxy Pacific Sunday night, Monday night as well, on the rocks. Okay, show folks, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Don't forget, we will be here Sunday night, Christmas special. Lots of Christmas music. We'll be playing the whole songs through. Lair can't wait to hear that Vince Gill song again.
That was a great song. And again, Chris, we should remind everyone, Roxy Pacifics, is it now until the end of the year? Is $5 off any size?
Now till Christmas.
Now till Christmas.
Get that order in. And that's Roxy Pacifics with an X.net or call 619-654-4829, 619-654-4829.
That's a necessary Christmas present for you and your entire family. Like Chris says, you're always going to want this in the medicine cabinet. For burns, cuts, laryngitis, almost any, even your eyes, problems with your eyes, your scalp, your animals. Folks, we're the American